Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. By the way, you may have noticed I said monthly CD. The monthly cassette tape program you've been receiving for 7+ years is now available in CD format as well. If you wish to begin receiving your monthly tape in the CD format, simply fill in the enclosed sheet and fax it back to our office. Next month, you'll begin receiving the CD formatted material. If you're like most contractors, you would love to increase your sales. You just don't know how to do it. This month, Larry Wingate, who has been a frequent contributor to this tape series, is going to share 31 principles for making more sales. The great thing about Larry is that his ideas are practical. No fluff, just stuff that works. Some would call it common sense, but the question each of us needs to ask ourselves is this: am I doing what Larry says? Larry is an internationally recognized speaker and author of several books and audio-video learning systems. Larry's philosophy is, expect the best, be prepared for the worst, and celebrate it all. Now sit back and listen to some great ideas on how to increase your sales.
It's time to talk about how to make more sales. 31 principles for making more sales. Number one, talk to more people. You see, that really is the key to making more sales. Just talk to more people. Because then it doesn't really matter how good you are. If you will talk to more people, you will close more sales. If you're talking to 10 people a day, then try talking to 11. One more person every single day, well, that's at least 220 people per year. And if you only close one out of every 10, and anybody ought to be able to close one out of every 10 prospects, then that will mean over 20 sales every single year. Now, what would that do for your income? What would that do for your company? You see, it's so simple. Just talk to more people. Figure out a way to talk to more people. Call more people on the telephone. See more people in person. Try group prospecting. Work faster. Come in earlier. Stay later. Skip your break. Shorten your lunch hour. Anyone and everyone can make more sales simply by talking to more people. The more people you talk with, the more sales you will make. No way to avoid this basic lesson of success in making more sales. Number two, give away 10 business cards every single day. Now that sounds easy, doesn't it? Man, it is. Even if you don't see 10 qualified prospects every day, you can still give out 10 business cards every single day. Give them to the person at your dry cleaners, your restaurant, your mail carrier, your sales clerk at the retail store. Just give them out everywhere. Get your cards in circulation. Yep, let me tell you this, quite honestly, most of them will end up in the trash. That's okay. If one of them doesn't end up in the trash and lands in the hands of a qualified buyer, then it has been worth your time and the expense of some printing up of business cards. You will be amazed at how a business card can travel around. There are just countless stories of huge sales that have been closed, all as a result of a business card traveling through the hands of a number of people and then finally ending up in just the right hand at just the right time. Now here's a bonus. Collect business cards from everyone you meet. It'll make them feel important and will help you build a strong base of contacts that might turn into a mailing list at some point for you and your products and services. Number three, smile. It's been said lots of times, I've said it on all of these tapes, but we gather information by sight. And it is the first thing people, I believe, will notice about you. It sort of says that you're a friendly person. So greet people with a smile, and they'll almost always return it to you. Smiling does make customers feel better about themselves and about you. A smile will diffuse an uncomfortable situation or calm an irate customer. It is a universal symbol that is understood by all, regardless of language, age, or beliefs. None of us smile as much or as big as we think we do. So smile bigger and more often than you think you need to. Now, don't be an idiot about it, and don't put one of those forced, goofy grins on your face. But just ask someone to judge your smile. See if they can tell when you're smiling, because a smile can be your best sales tool. Learn how to use it. I like what Roger Rabbit said. He said, sometimes a smile is the only weapon we have. Number four, get yourself a terrific handshake. Now, this is first, last, and probably the only physical contact you're going to have with your customer. It's your first nonverbal sales approach. Make it a good one. Nothing is worse than grabbing someone's hand and getting the feeling that you need to wash your hands because you just touched something kind of dead and sick. So make your handshake firm without being a vice, friendly without being mushy, confident without being pushy. Always look the person square in the eye when you're shaking their hand. Never pump the hand up and down. You're not on a farm anymore. Just grab the hand and give it a couple of nice shakes. Don't grab the fingertips. Never hold on too long. And let me give you this piece of advice. Never, ever, ever discriminate between the sexes when it comes to shaking hands. The rules are exactly the same for all people. Shake hands with a man just like you'd shake hands with a woman. Grab their hands. Make sure that web between your forefinger and your thumb touches. And shake firmly, confidently, and in a friendly manner. If you want above-average sales results, then you need to get an above-average handshake. Number five, be really nice. Did you ever give your money to someone who wasn't nice to you? Well, actually, you probably did. But you didn't do it more than once, and that's because you had a choice. We like to do business with people who are nice people. Everyone likes to do business with nice people. That means you have to be a nice person. So smile, be friendly, be concerned about their needs, empathetic toward their problems, and be nice all of the time, not just when it's convenient or when they are being nice to you or when you feel like it. Be nice all the time. I bet your mama told you just what mine told me. Be nice. All of the money you are ever going to have is currently in the hands of someone else. Earl Nightingale said that, and we need to remember that. In business, that someone else is the customer. They got the money. Be nice to them. Number six, learn how to introduce yourself. Your introduction is critical. You have to be able to introduce yourself and tell what you do with enthusiasm and without hesitation. You must also be succinct. 30 seconds is more than enough time to explain who you are and what you do for a living. Any longer than that, and trust me, you have become a bore. And when you introduce yourself, don't hesitate to say that you are a sales professional. Never apologize for being a salesperson. Sales keeps our country alive, and sales is the highest paying profession on earth. Record yourself, maybe. Fine-tune what you say and how you say it, and make it powerful. Sell yourself through your introduction to others. Number seven, master the first 2 minutes. Okay, your introduction is over. They now know who you are. They should have some idea of what you do. Now you have about 2 minutes to get their attention and create an interest in your product and in you. If you lose them here, it's going to be uphill the rest of the way, I promise you. So get everything working for you, your smile, your handshake, your introduction, and then know that the first 2 minutes of your presentation, know it so well that if I called you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you could give it to me enthusiastically and without hesitation. Have it include an absolutely knock-your-socks-off benefit statement. Make it personal. Make it as specific as possible to them and their business or their industry. Practice it. Rework it. Try it out until it works. Then go beyond memorization and make it a part of who you are. Remember this. You must become as good as you can, as quick as you can. Number eight, ask for referrals. The easiest prospect to sell is one you have been referred to. Now, when a friend, relative, business associate, or satisfied customer says to someone, you got to meet Larry, or you should see what he's done for us, or have you heard this guy? then trust me, the hardest part of it is over with, because that's when I have established immediate credibility through the referral of someone else. You have to have that going for you. So let your customers refer you to possible prospects. Most of them would be happy to do it if you would only ask them. So ask for referrals from people that can't use your product. Sometimes they just won't be able to use it. Ask them to refer you to someone who might be able to use it. Ask for referrals from people who don't even like you or like your product. That's okay. Say, hey, I know you don't like me. You know anybody who might? So get referrals from everyone, and don't be bashful. Get a stack of referral letters from all of your satisfied customers. I don't care what you do. If you sell used cars, you need a stack of referral letters saying this is a good, honest person, and I appreciated doing business with them. Regardless of what you do, regardless of what you sell, you need references. So ask your customers for references. Do what you need to do to make sure that you get references, but do it, and don't be timid about it. There's a wonderful book by Judge Ziegler, who is Zig Ziegler's brother, who said, "Timid salesmen have skinny kids." Number 9, sell to your existing customer base. Your best prospect for any product or service you have is the customer that you already have. And very few of us have penetrated our customer base thoroughly with all of our products and services. If they're currently satisfied with using part of your product line, then wouldn't they be happy with the rest of your product line? Probably they would, and probably they haven't bought more of what you have to offer because you simply haven't asked them. You see, I believe this is one of the most overlooked markets in any business, and that is the existing customer. Yet this is the one who knows us, is more likely to trust us, and is the easiest for any of us to approach. Always remember that your best prospect is your current customer. Number 10, join a leads club. If you're in outside selling or inside selling or in any business, I think it pays to join a leads club. Now, they're called lots of different things. Maybe in your area it's called a tips group, a networking group. They can be called lots of things. They come up with all kinds of funky names these days. But it's about exchanging leads. And a good leads club or networking group will have as its primary focus the generation of qualified business leads for its members. Now, they normally only allow one member from any given industry to be in the group. And the good ones require its members to provide leads for other people within the group. They don't cost much to belong to, and usually they meet at breakfast or lunch, normally a time that's wasted anyway. They only last about an hour, and you'll walk away with some leads. If they're cost-effective and fit your schedule and give you leads, why wouldn't you want to belong to one? So find a good one. Now, normally your Chamber of Commerce can provide you with a list of them in your area. So visit some of them, find one that you feel will fit you and what you do, and join. Then contribute all of the leads you possibly can, and they will come back to you multiplied. Number 11, join an association that serves your industry. You know, there are associations in every community that are made up of people that you could do business with. You need to become involved in those associations. First, though, join your own professional association and become active in it. Be known as a mover and shaker in your own industry before moving into some of the others. Second, join other associations where there are large groups of users of your services. Now, you may have to join as an affiliate or a vendor member, but that's okay. Still join and get involved, because people do business with people that they know. Get known by as many people as you possibly can. Number 12, learn from the masters. Never stop learning. Some people say, I've been doing this for 20 years, so what's there left for me to learn? Well, there's plenty left for you to learn. You can never have too much information, so go get some more information. Besides, do you really have 20 years of experience or just 1 year of experience repeated 20 times? I know that's an old saying, but it's a question we have to ask ourselves from time to time. So continue to learn. Learn from the masters. Read the books and listen to the tapes of the people who have spent a lifetime studying what it takes to be successful in your industry and doing what you need to do. There are great books and tapes out there on selling. You need to find those and study them. Then be open to the new ideas. Try the new things. I know some people will suggest that you do it differently than you've done it before, but if you are incredibly successful, then maybe you don't need to learn more. But chances are you need to be more successful than you currently are, so be willing to try the new things, things that might change your results. Try new ways of asking for the appointment or new ways of closing the sale. The masters study this stuff, and they teach this stuff, and they do this stuff every single day. I promise it will work for you if you will just study it and then try it. Because when you do the things of a master, your chances of becoming a master go way up. Number 13, study your coworkers. Study the actions of your coworkers. They may be coworkers in your office or salespeople in other businesses within your industry, but look at their results. If they're doing something that works, then you might want to benefit by doing something similar. If they're doing something that doesn't work, well, then that's a clue. Don't do that. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, it is. Some of the greatest teachers in your life are sitting at the desk right next to you. Some of your greatest teachers are your biggest competitors. Some of your greatest teachers are the biggest flops in your business, so pay attention to them. Learn from other people. Learn from their victories as well as their mistakes. Experience is the best teacher. However, you don't have the time to get it all on your own. Learn from other people's experience. So, be aware of other people. Watch them, listen to them, study them, and learn from them. Number 14, learn from the winners in unrelated fields. Now, you can learn from everyone. If you're in the insurance business, then try learning from someone in the banking business or someone in the telecommunications business. Try learning from someone in the medical industry. Don't become so narrowly focused in your pursuit of sales ideals and information that you only think you can learn from people who do exactly what you do. That just is not so. Try to catch other companies and individuals in unrelated fields doing something right. Then figure out why it's working. Then try to repeat the same in your business. Now, of course, it may require some modification, but if it works in one business, it'll work for you because most of what works is based on principle, not on technique. Look for the principle and try to duplicate it. The key is to be open, be observant, and take some risks. Look for good ideas everywhere and become a student of success in all of its forms. Number 15, be unique. Even though you are a student of the masters and of winners in your business and from other fields, that does not mean you mimic them exactly. Personalize everything. Make it yours. Add your own uniqueness to every idea. You have uniqueness. You have a style. If you don't know what it is, then ask someone to tell you what it is. Then figure out how to add style to everything that you've learned. Find your uniqueness, discover it, and then learn to exploit it in the service of others, and I will guarantee you, you will make more sales. Number 16, believe. Believe in yourself. Know that you can do whatever you need to do and be whatever you need to be in order to have the results that you want to have. How you feel about yourself will directly impact your ability to sell customers on yourself and your products. Then believe in your product. If you don't love your product so much that you would buy it if situations were reversed, then you need to find a new product. Believe in your customer. Know that the customer is your boss. Believe that your success depends on satisfying that customer. Then believe in your company. Believe that your company has the best interest of the customer at heart. Believe that your company exists to provide the very best product and services for your customer. And if they don't, then quit today and go find a new company to work for. Remember what the Bible says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to those that believe. So believe in yourself, your product and services, your customer, and your company. Number 17, want everyone to win. The goal of every salesperson must be for the customer to win. Of course, the salesperson and the company should also win. In fact, there should be no losers when any sale is made. But you can carry this another step. Want your competitors to win. That's right. Want your competitors to win. The industry never benefits from the loss of any business. You know, if we all make sure that the customer wins, then there will be more than enough customers for all of us to win with. There is a customer for every salesperson and for every company out there. In fact, there are plenty of them. There are plenty of customers to go around. The more everyone wins, the more you will win. Number 18, love problems. Your ability to succeed in selling is based on your ability to solve the problems of other people. Your compensation is based on your ability to solve the problems of other people. And if you solve lots of problems, then you will get paid lots of money. That's just how it works in the world of selling. Problems are the basis for the existence of your company, and problems are the basis for your existence within that company. Your company provides products or services that solve certain problems. If it didn't do that, it would not be in business. If you didn't do that, you will not be in business. You must provide solutions to the problems of your customer. And when you get really good at that, you'll become really successful. Because problems determine your income, your employment, and your success. So learn to love problems. Number 19, ask for the business. We'd all have more business if we just ask for more business. James 4:2 in the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." And that's how it works. You see, you don't have to be the best, and you don't have to be the cheapest. In fact, many times you don't even have to be any good. All you got to do is ask more than anybody else. We can all name probably 100 examples of inferior products that are being sold all because someone asks someone else to buy them. I'm telling you, this stuff works. Just ask more people to do business with you, and you will do more business. I promise, there is no exception. So ask everyone. Ask for bigger orders. Ask for referrals. And when they say no, big deal. Just keep asking. Ask, and then ask again. Number 20, learn to walk. Now, I'm not saying learn to put one foot in front of the other and walk. You're probably doing that already by now. I'm talking about learn to walk away. You got to walk away from some deals. Not all deals are good deals. There are some deals out there where there's no way for everyone to win. In fact, some deals where no one wins. Avoid those kind of deals. I have made those mistakes. I had to learn the hard way. But I have learned that an abusive prospect will be an abusive customer. Walk away. A customer that pits you against your competitor in a price war will never be loyal to you. They're just looking for the best deal, a nickel cheaper. Walk away. If a customer doesn't deal with you ethically, morally, honestly, and with integrity, don't walk away. Run away. And as I know, this is a tough one, especially when you need the business. It requires skill, but it also requires confidence. It's hard to learn when to do it. When to just walk away. It's hard to know when you could stay a little bit longer to see if the tide changes, but learning to walk away from a bad deal will save you time and lots of trouble and lots of money in the long run. Otherwise, if you don't walk away, a mistake of staying too long or getting yourself involved with wrong folks can be troublesome and costly. Number 21, say thank you. I keep hitting this one a lot, but I believe that we sincerely should appreciate the business that does come our way. I can tell you right now, I'm thankful for every bit of business that I get. I'm thankful for every time someone books me. I'm thankful for every one of you who's bought my books and bought my tapes. I'm thankful that you're listening to my tapes right now, and I mean that. I really do. The problem is not that we aren't thankful usually. It's that we don't say we're thankful. You see, I think we ought to say thank you to people. I think we ought to say thank you in person. I think we ought to say it in writing. I think we ought to carry notes with us and postcards and drop our customers a note immediately and just say thank you. I get notes when I buy shirts in department stores. That is, if I buy a shirt in a good enough department store. Go to Nordstrom's, buy something from those people. When you give them a check or your credit card, they will give you a handwritten note a few days later in the mail, and it will say thank you, and please, next time you're in the store, look me up. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel wonderful, like they've taken some time. buy a $50 item and you get a piece of mail from someone you hadn't even met before saying it was nice meeting you, thank you for buying this, and please look me up next time you're in the store, I really appreciate that. I bet your customers would too. So thank your customers for their time, their money, their business, for allowing you to see them, for taking your call, for being easy to do business with, for their hospitality. The list can go on and on. As Zig Ziglar says, the more you are thankful for what you have, the more you will have to be thankful for. Number 22, do what you say you're going to do. It is better to underpromise and overperform than to overpromise and underperform. Let me say that again. It is better to underpromise and overperform than to overpromise and underperform. If you do less than you have promised or less than you have said you're going to do, then you've taken a major step in destroying the trust factor that is so critical to long-term relationships in the world of selling. Do what you say you're going to do. Be there when you said you would. Mail it when you said you would. Deliver it when you said you would. Call back when you said you would. Give them what you said you would. You got that? In other words, do exactly what you say you're going to do. Without exception, you cannot afford to do any less. Make sure that your words and your actions can be counted on. Number 23, do more than you say you're going to do. I've talked about this on the service tape, but do more than you say you're going to do. It's called and then some. Do everything that your customer expects from you and then do more. These are the people who work for the companies that become rich. There are no traffic jams in the extra mile. Isn't that a great quote? There are no traffic jams in the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Believe me, very few people do it. And when they do it, they will receive benefits that you just can't believe. Number 24, do the little things. We've already talked about how when you do more than you say you're going to do, that will set you apart. That's that extra mile. But also do the little things. That'll set you apart, too. It's the little things that will sometimes have the biggest impact. Write the thank you notes that most people just won't write. Call and tell your customers that you sincerely appreciate them and their business. Send them a birthday card. Send notes to your customer secretary on Secretary's Day. Just do the things that most people won't do, the little things. Make just one more call every single day. That's a little thing, but it'll have big results. In other words, just maybe get 1% better at everything you do. Anybody can do that, right? You don't have to get 100% better at what you do. Get 1% better. Because success does not come from doing extraordinary things. Success comes from doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. Number 25, follow-up. Don't bother making the first call if you're not willing to make the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth. Not everyone buys on the first call. You have to follow up. Follow up to make sure that the customer is satisfied. I recently got a follow-up call to see if I was pleased with a $21 rubber stamp I'd ordered. Now, was I impressed? You bet I was. So impressed that I bought another $50 worth of rubber stamps when they called. Now, who won? We both did. Can't beat that, can you? So follow-up is critical not only to the sales effort, but to the customer service and satisfaction effort as well. And besides that, it's profitable. So follow-up in writing, follow-up with a phone call, and follow-up in person when it makes sense. Maybe all three of those things. But regardless of how you follow-up, do it. Number 26, get a personal picture postcard. Now, while your company may have their cards, you need your own card. Make it a personal picture of yourself, looking all friendly and smiling, and have it printed up. It just doesn't cost that much anymore. And it is a personal way to stay in touch with your customers, and it will remind them that they are doing business with you. That's what we have to be reminded of. People do business with us. They do business with companies second, people first. Remind your customers that they are doing business with you. Follow up is critical. personalized, immediate follow-up is outstanding. Number 27, become very stingy with your time. Nothing is more important than your time. Don't let anyone waste it. It's the only thing that you can't get any more of and that you can never get back once it's gone, so become stingy with it. Spend as much time as you can talking with customers. That's the most important use of your time if you're in selling. Then spend as much time as necessary getting ready to talk to customers, setting appointments, preparing, writing proposals. But be careful. While this part is important, it's not nearly as important as the time you actually spend talking with customers. After that comes personal time. When you're on the job, you don't have any of this. On the job, all of your time must be spent keeping existing customers, creating new customers, and making yourself and your company be the kind that other people want to do business with us. Anything other than those three is a waste of time. Don't waste your time when you're on the job. Personal time comes after that. But your time on the job must be spent with customers. Your time is your most valuable asset. Make sure you spend it and prioritize it in the right way. Number 28, be great on the telephone. I'm not talking about good on the telephone. Good won't make you rich. You got to be great on the telephone. Even if you don't spend much time on the telephone, and that is not your primary duty, you have to get good on the telephone. When you're on the telephone, you have to sound better than you do in person. You have to sound more enthusiastic, more friendly, more everything. Why? Because they can't see you. They only get to hear you, and you have to be better on the phone than you even are in person because your customer does not have all of those non-verbal visual cues. They only have your voice. Record yourself when you're on the telephone. The device to do this is so inexpensive, and it will quickly pay for itself. Listen to how you say things. Listen to what you say. Listen to yourself laugh. Listen to yourself to find out how much time you actually spend listening. And if you're not very good on the telephone, change how you're doing. There's a lot of good books out there on how to be excellent on the telephone. And you need to get one. You need to get some tapes on how to be better on the telephone, because the better you are on the telephone, the better your results will be. Number 29, let's talk about a sensitive subject, and it has to do with personal hygiene. Now, that sounds ridiculous to some people, but trust me, when you're in business, you will find out most people, I won't say most, but I will say many people, don't have good personal hygiene. But when you are a professional salespeople, seeing and talking with people all day long, you're working. You're up close and personal, and you are extremely visible. So how do you look? How do you smell? Take special care with your fingernails, your breath, with your deodorants and colognes, perfumes. Carry stuff with you to help your breath, not chewing gum. Most people don't even know how to chew gum, and it's offensive. So don't carry gum. But find out a way to keep yourself looking good and smelling good. Now, while I'm talking about smelling good, don't wear too much cologne or too much perfume. Too much is much more offensive than none at all. But we have to understand that everything about us should add to our presentation and not detract from it. And people notice, especially if they're extremely visual people. Now, that's how I am. I notice how a person's fingernails looks. I notice whether their shoes are shined or not, male or female. I notice what their briefcase looks like. I notice whether their tie matches. I notice everything like that. And I'm not the only one who does. You have to look as good as you possibly can. So watch how you look. Watch how you smell. Watch everything about yourself. Number 30, you got to look like $1 million. Look as successful as you can possibly afford to look. Your clothes, your car, your office should all be monuments to your success. So look like $1 million. Now, some have said that you shouldn't drive big, expensive cars, that sets the wrong tone for the business. I've actually had that said to me when I was working for a major telecommunications company. You figure it out. That you shouldn't drive a great big expensive car, that it makes us look like we're being paid too much. That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I want my salespeople to be successful. I want them to be able to afford a big old brand new Mercedes, the most expensive car they can lay their hands on, because that must mean they're good at it. I want somebody selling to me who's good at it. So look as good as you can possibly afford to. Now, let me give you some rules. Wear good stuff. It is better to have one really good suit than three sort of good suits. Get your shirts cleaned at the cleaners. Carry a good expensive pen. Get a good leather notepad and briefcase. Drive as nice a car as you can possibly drive. People like to do business with winners. It is important to look like a winner. Remember, your clothes, your car, and your office should be monuments to your success. Number 31, wow the customer at every opportunity. Just look for creative and fun ways to surprise your customers and make them say, wow. I once had a landlord that ran my office building that would stop by every few weeks through the summer with an ice cream truck. He bought everybody in my company ice cream bars. Now, that made me say, wow. Now, how can you wow your customers? It's not that hard. You see, customers' expectations are at an all-time low, and customer awareness is an all-time high. So they will notice when you've done something to make them say, wow. Let me tell you a few of the things we do. We send out goofy stuff. I mean goofy stuff. I send out hot sauce with my name on it that says Larry's Hot Stuff. Now, there's sort of a double entendre there that says I'm hot stuff. They ought to hire me. But it's also a nice thank you, and it makes people go, wow, it doesn't cost me much to have a graphics designer come up with a label to do that. I have little Larry hand puppets. I have lots of things that let people know I appreciate them doing business with me, but also lets them know, wow, I'm creative and I've kept it fun. You can do that too. Wow your customers with your service, your friendliness, your courtesy, your gratitude, your smile, your thoroughness, your follow-up, your efficiency, your attitude, and your creativity. Make your customers say wow.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our totally redesigned website now has a complete listing of all of the products and services Grandy & Associates has to offer. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. And don't forget, if you want to begin receiving this material in CD format instead of the cassette tapes, fill in the enclosed form and fax it to our office today. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.